gosh, paper's flying everywhere in here today. Welcome back to Cover Live. I'm Kim Alexander, along with Maggie Litton. Say, look who's here. It's like Grand Central Station in this studio. Radio Classics own Greg Bell is here.
I can't believe you invited me back so quickly. It just seems like I was just here for Christopher Moore, and you guys actually let me back.
Yeah. But we moved, and we didn't tell you where we went.
You did do that. I've been running the halls of the building here trying to find you guys.
Well, you got somebody fun for us today.
I did. A little while back, I met a guy named Derek Haas. He's an up-and-coming Hollywood screenwriter. Oh, he's already there. He's a great Hollywood screenwriter.
Yuma? Yeah.
He wrote the 310 to Yuma remake, co-wrote that. Mm-hmm. Also Wanted with Angelina Jolie, James McAvoy, Morgan Freeman.
I loved that movie. That's what a dork I am. I love that movie.
And he's got a number of things on tap, and he's also a novelist. But what happened was he actually contacted me because he is a huge Radio Classics fan.
Among many. Yeah. John Schneider will know that.
What Derek actually did is he created a website called popcornfiction.com, which is encouraging short stories from a lot of his contemporaries, top Hollywood writers, actors, etc., are contributing, all because he heard these great old radio shows and said, wow, they could tell the story. We need to get that out there again. And by the way, he's on to his second novel. So we visited a little while back, and basically what I said is Derek, how did you get all this started?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer, and I went to, when I was 12, I asked my parents for a typewriter, and the old kind that you had to really hit the keys hard.
Right.
And
build up your strength.
Build up my strength, exactly. And then I went to college and got an English degree, and then ended up getting a master's in English Lit at Baylor in Waco, Texas. So I did my time in Waco at the same time Koresh was there, which was interesting. And then
there's always material.
Believe me. And then I just kept writing at night. I worked in advertising for a little while, and I had an idea for a movie. And my buddy that went to Baylor also and was a film major, and he was editing movies. And we started writing this thing through this newfangled device called email in about 1997 and 1998. And we ended up, a producer liked it, and he gave it to an assistant to a producer, gave it to a producer who gave it to Brad Pitt's manager, who gave it to Brad Pitt. And Brad Pitt said he wanted to do it. And even though the movie never got made, that's what got us started and got us agents and all of those things.
Obviously, you went to novels. Clearly, there's a lot of success going on with the screenplays. It looks like you're incredibly busy. So what was the draw for a novel?
Well, I think any writer who spends any time in Hollywood starts thinking it would be nice to do something that didn't involve focus groups and studios and people saying, I think your main character needs a dog to be more likable. So I had the idea for this novel, The Silver Bear, and I wanted to do kind of a storytelling from past to present to past to present, and kind of things you can't get away with in a movie, with a lot of what's inside his head. And also, I wanted to paint him in a shade of gray that Hollywood typically doesn't go for. You know, in a protagonist, you can do that with antagonists a lot. So I did. I wrote it, and I had no idea if it was commercial or if anybody was going to like it. And I wrote it over a long period of time because Michael and I were writing movies. And sure enough, a publisher in New York liked it, and it came out last summer. Yeah.
Now, how was the difference from, you said you have a writing partner?
Yeah.
I mean, did you go to him a lot still? Or?
No. In fact, I gave it to him when I was done, and I said, "Oh, by the way, I wrote this book." I hadn't told him any. I didn't want him to think I was taking time away from writing scripts. But he has been nothing but a champion of it. He digs the books, and so he's actually had fun with them too. So, and I think if we ever did adapt it into some sort of film version, he would definitely write it with me. So,
what is your writing process with him versus? I mean, obviously, you did the novel on your own, but I mean, do you have a certain process between the two of you that works great, or is it just?
We do. We don't. We don't sit in the same room. We tried that in college, and we realized that we would complete each other's sentences before they were finished. And he would say, "Oh, you missed a comma." And I'd say, "Can I finish my thought, please?" And so we switched to where we will each take passes at scenes or maybe even half a script, and then we'll send it back and forth via email, and we'll change the color of the draft so you know who wrote what when. And we found that we have an open rewrite policy. Our whole rule is just make it better. And in, we've been doing it together now for 11 years, and we rarely argue. So it's been great.
Now, in the case of The Silver Bear and obviously the new one, Columbus, which is a follow-up from the same character, how's the rewrites work with that?
You know what's funny is editing in publishing is so much more deferential to the author than in Hollywood, where in Hollywood, the studio owns the copyright. So you can be fired at any point at will. You know, an actor comes in and wants his writer to write it, and you're gone, even though you spent 2 years on it, as I spit on your computer. And so with writing a book, though, the first time the galleys came back from the publisher, I was worried. I thought, oh, well, now the real work begins. We're going to start rewriting. And I'm not kidding that on the paper it said, Derek, could you perhaps think about inserting a semicolon into the sentence? So it's a whole night and day, but they've been great. The editing's been great. And you kind of take it upon yourself to rewrite yourself as you go.
Obviously, if you look at the screenplays that you've written, a lot of action pictures. Mm-hmm. Also, films in the case of 310 to Yuma, where you had something you were working from, and you had to, so you were actually taking an existing script. And I don't know, was there a story before that?
It was an Elmore Leonard short story. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
It was an Elmore Leonard short story.
That's a double challenge.
Yeah, and then made into a 1957 Western written by this guy, Halstead Wells, who we ended up sharing credit with on the 2008 version because we loved so much of what he did that we said, don't touch this. This is a great scene. There's a scene in the movie where Christian Bale's character, Dana Evans, comes into the saloon and he holds Ben Wade in conversation while the sheriff can get the drop on him. And that's word for word from the 1957 movie. We loved it. And so didn't need updating. But yeah, it's intimidating to work off of that. One of the things that you have to do as a screenwriter adapting something so old is make it feel modern and have that kind of a sensibility. So on that movie, we made the son, who's barely in the original movie, a main character, and put him between this this gunslinger who was like a rock star and his dad, who's a blue collar worker. And we went back to when we were pitching the studio, we went to that story of Charles Barkley, the old Nike ads that said, I'm not a role model. And we said, okay, well, that's how we can relate. This dad who's just trying to put food on the table has to deal with this guy who's a hero of these dime store novels. And then let's have the kids sort of soul hang in the balance between these two guys. So that's what we did.